You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Ah, the sounds of back-to-school time. There's plenty to about this time of year, so let Cane's take something off your plate by putting something on it, like hand-battered chicken fingers and cane sauce.
Raising Cane's chicken fingers, one love.
Good morning, good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sippel.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
I saw that. Welcome back to Hour 3.
That was incredible.
On a Thursday, Steve Sippel, Jake Sorensen, and Bill Bush on Early Break. Third hour is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
The Co.
Now hiring at Ready Mix Concrete. Apply today at NEBCOinc.com. We just saw somebody do a Yui on O Street.
And it was one of those cars that was smaller than a go-kart.
Tiny car.
And they pulled out of this parking spot right here and then just flipped a Yui right in the middle of, not like at a light now.
No.
This is right in the middle of the block. I've never seen that. We saw some for the first time.
But if you have a car that little, there's an advantage there.
Yeah, there's a big advantage.
You can't whip that truck around like that.
No.
You can whip that truck around.
No.
No.
Then you have to put it in reverse or whatever like that. No, that. And it was seamless. The whole thing happened within a matter of seconds.
No, what kind of car is that?
There's this tiny car.
Just one of the tiny cars.
It's the smallest car right? You could ever have.
Are you whipping that thing down the interstate?
Barely a car, but...
Do they whip those things down the interstate?
I don't know. I think if you lived in a small town, so like I said, let's just say you lived in Albion, a car like that would be nice. Just
okay, here's a question.
You would get mocked, though, for that.
What's that?
You'd get mocked in Albion for that car.
I wouldn't mock anybody.
Yes, you would.
I don't know.
In Albion, they're mocking the tiny car.
People in Albion, they're not mockers. They're not.
They fix problems. Interesting take by Jay.
Yeah, they fix problems up there.
Yeah.
Could you take that car today to Denver?
Oh, it'd fit in Denver for sure.
No, but...
Can you drive it to Denver?
On the interstate.
Imagine all of a sudden it's... I mean, the RPMs would have to be incredible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, does he even have a four-cylinder in it, you think? I don't know.
If you go to Denver in that bay or not.
Yeah. We're joined by 24/7 Sports. Mike Schaefer. Schaefer, good morning. Hey, before we get to Husker stuff, quick question for you. See if this is fair or not. In the game show, I asked Sip and Bill a question they thought was a little difficult. I'm curious for you. 07 Illinois. Do you know who the running back was for 07 Illinois, Schaefer?
I want to say it was Rashad Mendenhall.
Yep, there it is.
See? Or maybe you're listening to the show.
That's
too.
True. That's
maybe
true.
He's probably listening to the show before this all.
I didn't know we were going to make this a thing.
Yeah,
I just had
to know if he knew
Schaefer
if it was
probably
fair.
Had it,
you guys
Schaefer
thought it,
knows a lot
thought
of
it wasn't fair.
I think it's worth noting that Illinois really hadn't been particularly good prior to that stretch, and then that was Juice Williams, Aurelius Ben, Rashad Mendenhall, like they went and got smoked in the Rose Bowl. So they're, and that's also like perfect wheelhouse for me of college football. So I can see why it would have been more difficult, but that's a memorable Illinois team, far more than most of the ones I've covered when Nebraska played them.
Okay.
Join my Mike Schaefer. Schaefer, we are exactly 2 weeks away from Nebraska-Cincinnati, Arrowhead Stadium, KC, 8 p.m. on August 28th. I'm curious, from the beginning of fall camp to right now, do you feel better or worse about Nebraska in that game?
I feel better. I mean, I wouldn't say that I've ever felt bad about Nebraska in that game. I mean, I've been curious if they can show up and play good football right away in the first week of the season. We've seen them play Power 4 opponents, you know, a few times now in the opening game, and it hasn't gone particularly well for them. Can they play mistake-free football? Can they do what they want to do? I mean, these are the sort of things that I think are fair to wonder. It's been a very positive camp. Like, I think it's been, as someone who's tried really hard not to let, quotes or any of that sort of affect the fact that I kind of have them in 7-5, maybe creeping towards 8-4. I'm trying not to just, like, push things up because it sounds good. But the more, you know, certainly Mike Eckler the other day made me feel better about what special teams could be coming off of last year's abomination. And so that alone felt like that could have been worth a win or two. I mean, last year I was really high on Nebraska at this time. I thought they were going to go 9-3. I still think they had every opportunity to be 9-3 last year. I'm just trying to stay as grounded as possible when it just feels like it's just pitcher after pitcher of Kool-Aid after every media availability right now.
Mike Schaefer joins us. Mike Schaefer, Jake asked this question in the first segment today. What answers do we need to know about Nebraska before this game? What is still bouncing around in your cranium in that regard?
Yeah, you know, I have a few things, and so I wanted to find out what happens with the left tackle battle, in part because in my mind, the loser of that feels like they're still one of the five best linemen, so do they end up at right tackle? So if it's Elijah Pritchett at left, does Gunnar Gatula end up at right tackle because he might just be better than Teddy Prohaska at this stage in their career? So I have a lot of interest in sort of what's going to play out there. I think it's going to be Pritchett at left tackle. And then I really do think that we could see, and maybe it's not in the first game, but maybe we could see Gunnar Gatula as the right tackle for Nebraska this season. Elsewhere on the roster, I mean, I'm kind of fascinated what the secondary picture looks like. I think we have a pretty clear indication that a bunch of the veterans are going to play early, but how quickly or how much rotation will they get into that before we get into the first game? Probably not. I'm also fascinated what the role of Desaun McCullough is for this defense. Mm-hmm. I think we have put a lot of stock into the idea that he's going to be a pass rusher, and I just don't know that I believe it. I need to see it happen on the field. I just don't know that his body type translates particularly well to the Big Ten to be a pass rusher. He has, I think, only 4 career sacks that came, 3 years ago at this point. And so I sort of wonder, like, are we going to see a lot more Willis McGahee, Jordan Ochoa at the jack spot? And then what does that open up Desaun McCullough to do for this defense? So those are some of the things that I still would like to know more about as we get closer to this game. Elsewhere, I feel like I feel a lot better about the wide receivers today than I did coming into fall camp. I feel better about most of the offense. Defensively, I think it's going to be a long kind of wait and see. I think they're going to look a lot better in November than they do in September. But can they play well enough to complement Nebraska to be able to win football games? I think that's sort of the big question that remains, and we're not going to know that until we're much further into the season.
Simple question. Who will lead this team in sacks? Where's the pass rush coming from?
Yeah, this is, I think, one of the more fascinating things, because there are not many sacks on this roster. And then the guys who have the most sacks haven't played for Nebraska. And so it's sort of kind of anyone's guess. I mean, if you wanted to say Cam Lenhart, I really couldn't push back against it, though most of his sacks came against Colorado in 2023. If you wanted to say that Vincent Shavers is just going to be a wild man on the blitz, I can accept that. But how many sacks is that going to be to lead Nebraska? I think your best answer I mentioned him earlier, Willis McGahee and Jordan Ochoa. I think those are the guys that could be your strongest edge rushers. I think Riley Van Poppel can be pretty good in passing situations with an internal pass rush. But again, like, I think 3.5 sacks for Riley Van Poppel would be a tremendous season. Right. He has a half a sack in his career. Mm-hmm. I get that he's a single-digit number. I get that I have been pushing him to the moon from the moment he's committed. But these guys still have to go out and do it. And we sometimes just make it more video game-esque than what it really is. And I wouldn't be surprised if the leading sack person for Nebraska is right around 5, 5.5 per year. I just, I don't think there's someone that's going to go get him 10 sacks this year.
Joining Mike Schaefer. Schaefer, I'm curious. You know, we know Dylan's obviously the starting quarterback, but there's been a battle for the number two spot with Jalen Gramstad. TJ Lattice had a great camp so far. Marcus Davila. Right now, game one, is it Gramstad? And if it is so, is Lateef pushing for that spot, in your opinion?
It definitely sounds like they like a lot of what they've seen from TJ Lateef. I think a lot of it would be situationally dependent. You know, if they need a guy for just a couple plays, it could be Jalen Gramstad. If they need something specific, or if they need a spark or whatever, could it be TJ Lateef? Obviously, you're hoping not to even be in that scenario. I would be sort of fascinated if Nebraska finds themselves in mop-up territory in that first week. You know, would it be Lateef just to get them immediate experience right away? Or do you want to try to save four opportunities for them before the bowl game because you want to try to redshirt them? There's definitely some extra strategy there. I think they like Jalen Gramstad a lot. I really doubt push comes to shove. That's a guy that you would lean on for multiple starts in the season. I just don't believe it. I don't believe he can run the offense the way that you want to run it. I don't believe he has the arm strength to run the offense how you would run it. But I have been sort of a non-believer in it. I think it's a great story. But I kind of need to see it with my own eyes before I can just accept that guy as someone that they would trust to turn over multiple starts if there was a long-term injury to Dylan Raiola.
Any of the single-digit recipients that surprise you or you have any comment on at all?
Okay, so let's run through them. We have Van Poppel and Wright, Bonner. I'm blanking. It's been a long week already.
Singleton, Hartzog.
Single heart. You know,
Dane Key.
I think Bonner is probably the one that would surprise people.
Me too.
But if you go back and you listen to the way that Shorts talked about him, or the way that anyone has really ever talked about him over there, he just feels like...
Hey guys, Jake Sorensen. You don't need another hat. You need a personalized plan to regrow hair. Through Hims, you can access treatments that combine clinically proven minoxidil and finasteride to stop hair loss and regrow hair in just 3 to 6 months. No hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/earlybreak. That's Hims.com/earlybreak for your free online visit. Again, Hims.com/earlybreak. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
The sort of guy that everybody loves to have as a teammate because he does the dirty work. I mean, I just think he's someone that you can kind of trust in a variety of situations. I don't think statistically he's going to be prolific, but I think he's going to have a fair amount of reps. I think he's a guy that you love to have in your room because he can do a little bit of everything for him. And I just like his attitude. I mean, I think he's someone who just, you know, you want to talk about a lunch pail football player. I think that's Jannaron Bonner.
I think
you ask him to do anything. If they were like, hey, we need you to be left tackle on this play, he wouldn't even blink. He would just go in and do it as well as he could. Because that's just sort of who he is. You got to have guys like that on the football team.
Matt, you just explained why he has a single digit. And he's tougher than hell. Bill, you know about Jenaron Bonner.
Yeah, just for a brief time. But yeah, a fabulous young man. He was just coming into his own when he got here. Right. So, yeah, but everything that Shafe said about him is accurate.
Yeah, Bonner's he's tough to deal with if he gets his hands on you.
Yes.
With a little Chancellor Brewington-esque, I guess, if you would.
There you go. That's a good comp. Good comp.
Good comparison.
Wow. Really good comparison. Okay. What else?
Well, special team. We heard from Mike Eckler this week, Schaefer. Obviously, we've heard gushing all camp about Archie Wilson, the punter, and there's confidence in the kicking game as well. But we saw something just weird walk by the station. Sorry.
That's right.
But when you look at that unit in general, Schaefer, like, we expect improvement, but is it going to be obvious in game one, like, significant improvement with the special teams unit, in your opinion, since against Cincinnati?
I thought Mike Eckler's media appearance the other day was sort of fascinating, and it shouldn't be, but I think it's kind of nice to have a coach sort of reiterate that we don't have to do everything as a referendum. It doesn't have to be like, oh, Nebraska special teams is great because this punt worked. Oh, Nebraska special teams is bad again because that coverage got blown. He basically said, let's wait until the end of the season, and I think by that point, you're going to look at the numbers and you're going to be impressed by what was accomplished on special teams. And I thought that was sort of a refreshing and an adult way to look at it. I think too often, because this is what we do, we have daily radio shows, we have podcasts, we have columns, we have tweets, we have everything. We don't have the patience to allow things to sort of play out. So I appreciated him getting up there and basically saying, I believe in this group. I believe that at the end of the year, you're going to feel very good about it, you know, whether it's here in this room or the fans at large. And I kind of take him at his word. The thing that I have found fascinating, I have never experienced a team that has talked about, whether it's other coaches, whether it's other players, a specialist or a punter as much as Archie Wilson has been discussed. Mm-hmm. I don't know if it's because it's a new flavor of the month. I don't know if it's because he's from Australia, though we've seen that before at Nebraska. I'm not sure what it is, but there's something about him that makes him a magnet for people. I mean, Matt Rhule was gushing about him. Like, he was a new kid that moved into school that wore a cool leather jacket and was mysterious. And it was, you know, like, you have grown men gushing about an 18-year-old, now 19-year-old punter. Like, I am fascinated to see what this looks like. I've heard from people that he has done an excellent job in the sort of coffin corner, you know, pinning people down in the corner area. He's had a lot of punts inside the 5-yard line during practice sessions. Kyle Cunanan went through about every version of kick that he's seen Archie Wilson make so far. Kyle Cunanan is sort of his own fascinating story into it as well. I mean, he might end up being Nebraska's place kicker, but the Archie Wilson thing is just sort of wild to me. I never expected to have this much dialogue about a freshman punter as we've had really over the last week or so.
He's made an impression. Also, you mentioned a guy that I wonder about a lot in Jordan Ochoa. How does that happen? How does Jordan Ochoa happen? He's not a scholarship player. How does that work?
Yeah, so Jordan Ochoa is a great story. This is a guy whose dad played at University of Nebraska Kearney, has a bunch of Nebraska connection. They lived in Castle View, I believe, Colorado. Might be Castle Rock.
It's Castle something, yes. It's Rock, I'm pretty sure.
And it's just south of Denver.
Yeah, Castle
and
Rock.
And so he worked out at this place where Nebraska likes to, when they go to Denver, Marcus Satterfield wants to spend some time around this guy who trained some of the top linemen in Denver. And he was over there and was just blown away by Jordan Ochoa. I went back and reread the story from when I talked to Ochoa when he joined Nebraska's class as a walk-on in January of 2024. And basically, he's like, Marcus Satterfield was there, and I know he was looking at guys for future classes, but he kept looking over, and then he just came up and was talking to me, and Nebraska was impressed by his size, and I think they got some testing numbers on him, and they just really liked him. And so they went ahead, and they knew there was a little bit of a Nebraska connection there. They knew that he would make it happen if they gave him the walk-on opportunity. And so then he kind of just shows up and he goes through all of 2024. I asked John Butler about this last week, and Butler was like, yeah, when I became the defensive coordinator, I didn't know who he was. mm-hmm. but he kept sort of showing up. Mm-hmm. And so I went to Matt Rhule and I was like, hey, let's get this guy into the bowl game. So then they did, and he had a hurry, and he looked pretty good while doing it. And everything I've heard from people that have watched a lot more than I have is Jordan Ochoa has had a really nice spring and followed it with a really good fall camp. I thought he looked great at the open practice. He absolutely demolished, I think it was unfortunately Teddy Prochazka in a one-on-one. He just looks like he has really active hands. He's fast. He's big. I mean, he's 6'4", 240 is what he's listed. Mm-hmm. I think he's bigger than that. I think he's 6'4", closer to probably 250, or at least he looks like it in pads, and he moves pretty well. Good That's run. A guy that they've done a really nice job kind of keeping it, I wouldn't say under wraps, but I think he's going to be a bigger part of this than anyone maybe would have expected coming into the month of August.
Jordan Ochoa, only a redshirt freshman. Playing the jack position, they'll find a way to get him on the field. Maybe he can get you 3 or 4 sacks.
Yeah, and I mentioned earlier with Deshaun McCullough, I think, you know, they really like McGahee. They like Ochoa. If you feel good about that, that allows you to try to maybe use McCullough in a different way if he wouldn't be as effective as those two rushing the passer. And from the sound of things, they've been better at camp in terms of going forward against the quarterback.
Shafe, always good stuff. Thanks for the time. We'll chat with you again soon.
All right, guys, it was weird not being able to see you, but it was nice to get back on the show. So thanks for ever having me on today.
Always a pleasure. Mike Schaefer, Nebraska 24/7 Sports.
How does Colorado let a guy like that get away? I know it happens. It happens. But Colorado, there's not a ton of talent in that state.
No, there's you think, not. Yeah, to miss on as Colorado, to, you know, did he have, it sounds like he had no scholarship offers from Division I. So Colorado State also, you know, missed him. Wyoming / There's a lot of people that are, I mean, that are in Denver area to have some knowledge of him. Especially, it'd be different if it was like, you know what? He doesn't quite fit the measurables. Well, he fits the measurables, from what I hear.
So 6'4", 250.
Yeah, so that those are the guys you don't miss on very often. They're not walking around everywhere.
No.
You miss on, well, why'd you miss on this wide receiver? Well, there's 500 of them. It can happen.
And he's not a junior.
Yeah.
Like, he hasn't grown.
No. Yeah, he was 5'11 in high school.
Right.
Yeah, and also now he's
a redshirt freshman.
No, yeah.
And I'll tell you this, Rob and Wash, I give credit on this. We were just watching the bowl practice in Fordham, and he's like, who's 94? I'm like, why are you asking me? He goes, look at him. I mean, he was a freshman, but Robin was like, that's a dude. Yeah. I mean, it's just a freshman.
And it's happened, and obviously, because of the great history of the walk-on program. Stu Bradley came here as a walk-on from
Stu
Utah.
Stu Bradley.
Hey, he was awesome.
Played Mike Woo! Linebacker, and I think played
went
6
to the
years.
Eagles, yep.
Blew up in a spring game one time. Hit a guy at the goal line about as hard as you could hit a guy.
Yeah, I mean, remember I ended up coaching him. He's a great player. And like I said, I think he played 6 years in the NFL. Uh-huh. He was a freak talent. Same way, I'm like, how did this guy?
Yeah.
How did he come here as a walk-on?
Who missed
on
this?
Yeah. How did we miss on
measurables
this?
Measurables were great.
Great. Yeah. It wasn't like, well, he's 5'11". No, he wasn't.
He's
so
6'5".
Yeah. So those things happen.
6'6" with that hair. Remember that hair?
Yeah. It could flow.
He put your hair to shame.
Yeah, great hair. Yes.
Before we get to break, it is
vinyl.
School is back, and speakers are everywhere for different occasions. And if
you're
trying to find a speaker, we got an answer for you. Mid-America Speakers Bureau.
Mid-American.
Tyler Carlson, the team in Central City, went from 7 speakers to 85 over
a couple
of years. They've vetted all these speakers, and they're ready to speak to you and your group, like Bill has.
He's out of Central City, and I'm so glad that I'm part of it. But right now, like I said, it's going on like crazy. People reach out all the time about trying to find speakers. Who do we reach out to? How do we find? It's real simple. Just go talk to Tyler. He's gonna talk to you. You're going to be able to tell him, hey, this is my budget is. This is the event. He'll probably give you, hey, here's 8 or 10 people to look at. Here's what would fit you.
God, that's big.
Do some research on him. He'll also let you contact him. So if you're trying to hire, that's the place to go. And everyone, it comes up all the time. People are always hiring speakers. It's nonstop. Different events. This is the place
you
to go.
You and Sean speak more than anybody I've ever seen. You're like Bob Dole.
Bob Dole, Kansas.
Thank you. You went to Bob Dole.
Bob
Dole.
I didn't think. Okay. All right. Thank you.
He's a great speaker. You and Sean are all over the place. God, it's amazing.
It's fun to do, and it's fun to have that help from Tyler. Thank you.
MidAmericaSB.com, the website for Mid America Speakers Bureau. Check them out today. When we come back, a kicker question next on Early Break on the Ticket.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.